John 9 again. Have you ever been asked, what's it like to be saved? Maybe by someone who knows you as a Christian, but they don't have much of a church life or any experience of Christianity, and they ask you, what's it like to be saved? Well, that sounds like a golden opportunity to get your testimony and your witness over and to begin just to say and tell the great things the Lord has done. But how do you? How do you get it over to one who does not have the Lord and has no experience of spiritual things? How do you tell them what it's like to be born again, to have the Holy Spirit living within your heart? It is a challenge. I think that rather than explain our experience, we would have to say it's very much like this man we read of here. All I know is once I was blind, now I see. Once I had no interest, no desire, no thought of God, but now the things of God are so plain and simple. It's just like that miracle of a blind person being able to see. What a dramatic difference it must be for a blind person to suddenly see, especially one who was born blind and never did see color. And while any experience that I've had with blind people, they have tremendous imagination. They have tremendous ability to try and conceive and perceive what we see. And they will take in descriptions and remember them. And when you're driving along and you're trying to describe the colors and hues and sunshine, it is quite remarkable how a blind person can really try and take in what we see with our eyes. And all the while, they're living in a world of darkness, total darkness. Very hard for us to imagine. We know what it's like when the power is off and we're stumbling around trying to find things. And we think we're familiar with things. Have you ever done that? You look for a light switch and it's 10 feet away from where you're trying to find it. And you think you know. But a blind person will have it all stepped out. A blind person would be able to go directly to that switch because they have memorized by necessity where exactly where that is. And they can function remarkably well. But still, it is a world of darkness. Then, can you imagine, as this man had, when the Lord made the clay and put it on his eyes and made him to see, can you imagine the new world that was opened up to him? Full color. Not just black and white, but full color. The beauty of the world that he now saw. The remarkable difference. Now, he had a grasp of it before. Wasn't totally ignorant of the world around him. He would have listened into conversations. People would have described things to him. And as a child, I'm sure his mother gave him special attention to assist him in all his difficulties. And with the limitation of blindness, he would have come to a remarkable understanding of the world around him. But nothing like the world which he would now see after he's able to see with full vision. What a new world. Now this example sets before us what's it like for a church-going person, unregenerate, unsaved, without the Holy Spirit living in his heart, and then to be born again. And I'm speaking here of a church-going person because people can read the Bible, they can hear about the Lord, they can know about the Lord, they can take in many aspects of Christian truth and history and knowledge. And I suppose there's really nothing new that you could tell them. They've heard it all before. But still a world of spiritual darkness. The natural man is blind to spiritual things. He cannot comprehend them. He cannot understand them. Now he can hear about them. He can try and come to some level of understanding. But until the miracle of spiritual eyesight is given, he continues to remain blind. As has been said, when Adam fell in the Garden of Eden, his spiritual eyes were put out. His understanding of God, his understanding of truth, was totally distorted, ruined. The clarity was gone. And from then on, it was for Adam and his offspring a world of darkness, spiritual darkness. Now, for every Christian, every believer that is born of the Spirit, we're given new eyes. Regeneration, which we learned of last week, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to enlighten. And as the Lord Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He didn't just come to give physical eyesight. He came to give us spiritual eyesight. And this scenario that we have here between what a man can grasp while still in a world of darkness is the picture of an unconverted, church-going religious person. But you still need to be born again. You still need to be changed. The Holy Spirit, when you're born again, the Holy Spirit comes into your heart, giving you this new life. I could sum up tonight the new enlightenment that He gives. And there are three new looks. There's the new inward look, the new outward look, and the new upward look, which the Holy Spirit gives to the convert. Concerning the inward look, once the person saw the presence of sin, but after regeneration, after the miracle of conversion, we see the power of sin. See, it's one thing for you to say, oh, I believe that sin is all around me. I believe that sin perhaps even is in me, but it doesn't scare me at all. I'm not fearful of that. I'm not running from that. In fact, as we will see, you may very well be comfortable with that. And so the person in blindness will confess and say, yes, there's sin all around us. We're living in a sinful world. The evidence is there, the curse of it, the sorrows, the grief, death, suffering is all the evidence of sin. And I'm no exception. I am caught up in all the corruption of sin. Sin is present. But it is the born-again believer who grasps the power of sin. It's power. Sin destroys. Sin ruins. Sin separates. And just as Adam had his eyes put out in the garden, I am blinded. And the new convert has an understanding, perhaps for the first, of the power. And if you're converted tonight, you'll confess that. And once I realized sin was around me, but now I know sin's destroying me. That's the difference. Now in Job 40, verse 4, I give you a text for this. The book of Job, just before the Psalms. Job chapter 40, verse 4. Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth. And here is Job after the Lord instructs him. You'll notice that very word in verse 1, Almighty instruct him. He that reproveth God, let him answer it. Then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. There's the power of sin. There's the plague of sin. Now Job no doubt confessed that there was the presence of sin all around him. But now he felt its power. See, the unconverted can see the punishment of sin, but not see the pollution of it. And I can preach on hell. You can learn and agree to comprehend eternal destruction. That God in His justice cannot allow sin into heaven. Hell is a place, God's penitentiary, to cast out the wicked because of sin. That's its punishment. And yet you never feel its pollution. But once you're born again, once you are born of the Spirit, you grasp the pollution of sin. And you agree with Job, I am vile. Once we only saw the law of sin. The convert now sees the love of sin. And that he has cleaved to it, loved it, welcomed it, embraced it. And that it has become the very power in his life that has separated him from God and become his love. Once we saw the acts of sin, now after the new birth, we see the activity of sin in the soul. You see, many people just sweep away and say, sin's just a little thing, it's just a little deed. But when we're born again and we have the mind and the enlightenment of the Spirit, then we see that sin is an activity. It is a state of heart. It is the affections, the desires of our very soul. And that becomes confessed. Once we only saw the cause of sin, we might have blamed the devil, we might have blamed Adam, we might have blamed our parents, we might have blamed someone else. But now we hate the curse of sin. See, there's a difference between acknowledging the cause of it and acknowledging that it's a curse and will bring you into condemnation. Once we only saw the consequences of sin, but now we see its corruption. And there are those who, in evangelism, only hone in on what is the penalty, the consequence. But only the Holy Spirit can make you feel the pollution, the corruption, the awfulness, the heinousness of sin. I wonder tonight, have you been enlightened in this fashion? Has the Holy Spirit come and given you a new inward look? See, it's one thing for me to preach from this pulpit, you're a sinner before God. And you might say, well, in many ways I am. I know I'm just one of the common lot of humanity. And we're all imperfect and we have all dark spots in this. But to really lament over sin, to hate sin, to realize what sin is doing to you, that is the Spirit's work in the soul. That's something that the Holy Spirit must enlighten you. And you look in and what do you see? By nature, man sees a big ego, importance, someone who, you know, is the best in the world. And every little child has that ego. Every little child has this thought, the whole world revolves around me. I'm important. But it is the Holy Spirit's work to give us an inward look to see that we are totally unworthy, sinful in the sight of God. That was the view Isaiah had, the view that Daniel had, is the view that everyone that came into contact with God has had. No wonder, tonight, have you been converted? Have you this new inward look where you see yourself polluted, lost, in need of a Savior? That's the work of the Spirit in your heart. And it is the Holy Spirit, as John 16 verse 8 says, when the Holy Spirit has come, He will convict of sin. He will convict of sin. He will give you a new inward look. And the proudest man, the most haughty man, the most self-important man needs that new look before he can be saved. The new birth will give him a new look. The Holy Spirit will do this in his heart. And then there is the new outward look. Before conversion, we saw the attraction of the world. Now we see its allurement. And the difference between attraction and allurement is, attraction is something we want to go to and get into. The allurement, we see it as a snare. We see it as a trap. We see that the world is the place where the devil is the god of this world. And he controls and he has his tentacles of temptation ready to envelop and ruin. And our new view of the world is that it's a place of allurement. Once we saw the material value of the world, now we see just its momentary value. Turn to 2 Corinthians 4:18. Here is a text that is the new mind of the Christian. Something that the carnal mind, the unconverted man, will never agree with. Will never agree with this. While we look not at the things which are seen, there's the material, but at the things which are not seen, the spiritual. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now let me tell you, an unconverted person could read that over 20 times, could learn it in Sunday school, could memorize that scripture, could get top marks in a Sunday school class, get an award for it in a Sunday school examination, but not be in heart agreement with that statement. Because that young person will go out and look upon the world as a place to gather materialism and live for materialism. And they will think that this world is their heaven and live for this world. But when we have a new mind, born again, the world is a new place. And we see that it is only for a moment. It's only for a moment. Before I was saved, I can truly say that I was in love with this world. I was in love with this world. This world was a great place to me. This world was a place where I was totally comfortable. I had a lot to live for, money to make. I had many things to prove, goals and aims and objects, as many young men do. They all were for self, because this world was all I had to live for. But my father was killed very suddenly. On the 18th of June, 1973, my world fell apart. And I saw in my father a man who lived as I was doing, because I was doing many of the things that he did as a young man. He had worked 18 hours a day. He would be plowing to 3 o'clock in the morning, milking cows at 6 or 7. A man who, in many ways, was prosperous in farming community. He got his first tractor in 1947 and was one of the very first around to have a tractor. Progressive in that sense. Taken away from it at the age of 51. This world is temporal. Whether you're talking about the world as it is now existing or whether the time we have on this world is very temporal. 50 years from now, the majority of us here will be in our grave. This world will be gone. And I think that God used that grief, that shocking experience. And when I heard the gospel, my heart was in some agreement that to live for this world only is to be a fool, that we need more than just this world. And I think we can agree, the newborn Christian will agree, that the things which are seen are temporal. Whether it's farms, or cattle, or homes, or cars, or that recreation property, or boats or planes, or the toys of life, they're all temporal. Go down to the scrapyard in Scott Road in Surrey, and you'll see a lot of things that people dreamed about. They're temporal. They're on the rust heap. Their use is all over. Someone said, to get a sobering understanding of real life, go and spend a few hours in a cemetery. It's a good thing for everybody to do once in a while. Just go, walk around a cemetery. Read the headstone. See the many people. Various names, nationalities, various ages, even little infants put to rest. And then read 2 Corinthians 4:18. The things which are seen are temporal. The things which are not seen are eternal. But only the Holy Spirit can change your heart in those things. Let me ask you tonight, especially a young person here, what are you living for? Are you living for money? Are you living for materialism? Is that all you've got? What about eternity? What about if you were cut off, as my father was? As far as I know, he was unable to speak a word from the moment of the accident when the train smashed into the driver's side of the car and he was the driver. It was swept down the track in a wreckage. As far as I know, he never spoke. That was a Thursday evening, 4 a.m. The next Monday morning, his heart stopped. Certainly by the time I got to him, there was no response. Not that I knew the gospel to give him the gospel. But I know that the Reverend McClellan's brother, James, was asked to go and visit the hospital and perhaps speak to him, but he was unreachable in coma at that time, unconscious. What if you were cut off? What you're living for now will it stand the test of eternity? The Holy Spirit enlightens the convert to make us truly grasp in full color that this world is passing. And the things that are not seen are eternal. They're the real valuable issues of life. And some people think, oh, that church-going person is just wasting his time. Let me tell you that the person tonight glued to the television and lapping up all the materialism of this world is the fool. The problem is he doesn't see it. I trust that you do. I trust that the Holy Spirit has opened your eyes and made you to see in full color that materialism is momentary. And then, of course, the niceties of the world. And as a young person, of course, we look around the world in our unconverted state. We look around and we say, boy, the world is a nice place. But you know, when you're born again, the Holy Spirit causes you to see the nastiness of it. The world to a Christian is a place of grief. It's a veil of tears, where sin abounds, where Satan stalks, where Christianity is a lonely life for some. A hard uphill battle. And this world is no friend to grace. This world is a very cruel place to the Christian. In the early Christian church, Christians were martyred. The world is no more friendly today to the Christian than them. Once we were deceived by the antichrist of this world, but today the Christian has received the antidote to the world. Turn to 1 John 2:18. I'll show you what I mean by the antichrist and the antidote. 1 John 2 and verse 18. Little children, it is the last time And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us because they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. So the unconverted will be deceived by the Antichrist of this world. The Antichrists are those that set themselves up in opposition to the true Christ and His gospel. They are many. They come in religious form, they come in political forms, they sometimes come as parents, they sometimes come as those that will influence you to depart from being a disciple of Christ. And many give in to that pressure and follow the Antichrists, but not the born-again believer. Not the one who has been enlightened by the Holy Spirit. Because it says in verse 20, "But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things." Those that go out from among us, they were never of us. They were never born again. They were never converted. They have departed from the gospel. They have followed the Antichrist of this world. But the true born-again believer has been given the antidote to the Antichrist, which is an enlightened heart, will not be deceived, will not be deceived. In Matthew's gospel, speaking of the tribulation before the coming of the Lord, it speaks that God's elect will not be deceived. They will not be swept away by Antichrist. What a wonderful thing, because we have a new outward look. We look at the world around us. What do we see? We see its materialism. We see its nastiness, and we see its antichrists, and we have an unction, and we are disciples of the Lord Jesus. So that's the new outward look of the born-again believer, and it's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the enlightening of the Holy Spirit, like the miracle of a blind man being made to see. You can tell a blind man all these things over and over, but he can't fully comprehend until the miracle of eyesight is given. And then there's a new upward look. Once we saw only the sensual, but now the spiritual. The psalmist said, "In thy light shall we see light." There is a new spiritual illumination. In 1 Corinthians 2:9, we have this new sight. And this is not heaven yet, but this is the earthly experience of the child of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. "But as it is written, I have not seen or ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us." And that's, if you read this in context, you'll understand it's not heaven here. This is the Christian illumination now. This is the enlightenment we have when we're Spirit taught. "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." And so we have a new upward look, a new spiritual eyesight. And when we are told of the things of the Lord, praise God, we have a new upward look, and we rejoice in them with all of our hearts. Once we were a stranger, now we see the Savior. In Isaiah 53, you know how the chapter begins, that the Lord was of no report, considered as a root out of a dry ground. And then it goes on and it talks about the Lamb suffering. There is the new eyes of the Christian. Once the Lord Jesus was a stranger, but with a new upward look, we can look to the Lord Jesus. We've been given faith to see the living Lord Jesus. He is our Savior. And we rejoice in him. Like Job, who said, "Once I heard of him with the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth him." That's the new upward look of the born-again believer. Once we saw the sadness of the cross, but now we see the satisfaction. Once we saw that Calvary was just a morbid story, but now we see that a work was done. Sacrifice was offered. Payment was made. God's justice is satisfied. The wrath of God is turned away. We have a new upward look. We can look into the face of God and know that he is smiling in favor because the blood of his Son has interposed and mediated and reconciled. a new upward look. The unconverted man cannot look God in the face. He can only look down. God gives us that new upward look. Once we only saw the clouds of heaven, now we see the Christ of heaven conquering. I don't think the unbeliever sees any further than the cloud. My homeland, many people refer to God as the man in the sky. That was about the depth of their theology. That was their idea of God. We talk about the man above or the man upstairs. That's the unconverted man's idea of God. Some old character governing in an angry fashion. That's the caricature that the unconverted has of God. Now maybe you've grown up in church and you've learned a bit of theology. You've been through our Sunday school. Learned the catechism answers and questions. What is God? God is a spirit. Infinite, eternal, and unchanging. In his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. You don't know. But if you're not converted, let me tell you, you're just like the blind man grappling around. The only way that you're going to see God and know him and love him is when you get a new heart. How do you know if you've been born again? You're in love with God. You're delighting in him. You're hungry to know more of him. He's the all-important person in your life. You're not running from him. The mark of Adam, when sin came in, he became a fugitive on the run. He was a man in spiritual bondage and trouble. The mark of a person born again is he stops running and he runs into the arms of the Lord instead. Like Paul on the road to Damascus, persecuting the church, the Lord revealed himself to him. Paul says, "What must I do to be saved?" Have you been converted? Have you got the upward look of the grace, the mercy, the reconciled nature of God? You notice too that in the experience of this man in John 9, that it brings great certainty of soul. These Pharisees were trying to convince him that no miracle really took place and that he wasn't really born blind. And they try to talk him out of a miracle. And then they try to accuse him this was done on the Sabbath, so they weren't happy either way. But this man was sure. He says, "I'm not sure who healed me, and I'm not sure how he healed me, but one thing I know." You look at it, John 9:25. "One thing I know, once I was blind, now I see." There's the certainty that a born-again Christian has. There's no doubt about it. There is a miraculous change in me. I'm the subject. I am the person whom God has radically changed. I'm now a man of prayer. I'm now a man who can see God's word and delight in it. I have certainty. Because this brings transformation. It brings wonderful transformation. Where did this man end up? When you go back there to John 9, when the Lord Jesus came to him. The Lord Jesus found him. He was cast out of the synagogue. But the Lord Jesus found him. And the Lord Jesus spoke to him. And what did he do in verse 38? And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. You see, every convert is a worshipper of the Lord. And that's how you'll know if you're saved or not. That's how you know if the miracle has taken place in your life or not. You are tonight a worshipper of God with all your heart if you're born again. If you're fighting it, saying, "Get me out of here." No interest in worshipping God. The miracle has yet to take place. And so you still need to be born again. And then, of course, the Holy Spirit abides. He never departs. This anointing, this unction abides forever. And while there may be an ebb and flow of our enjoyment and entering into the life of the Spirit, he never leaves the one whom he indwells. He will abide, Jesus said, "I will give you another comforter who will abide with you forever." He'll never leave you. And when it comes to the struggles of life, the sicknesses and bereavement of life, facing the valley of death, how great it is that the ministry, the presence, the abiding of the Holy Spirit is as certain to the Christian in our dying hour as in our full health and strength. Indeed, the Lord gives great grace to his own people going through the valley. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of a saint. He abides. That's the new upward look. Even on a hospital bed, a great thing to have an upward look. And I'm sure to look just around you, you can see nothing but despair and hopelessness. But to look up, for the Christian, there's hope. There's grace and mercy. So if you're thinking of getting, of being saved and going back to the world, never going to happen. You're spoiled for the world. You could go back to the world, but you'll never enjoy it. You'll never be the same again. The Holy Spirit will convict you. You're spoiled for the world. You can't go back. You're new, a new creature, born again, with a new inward look, a new outward look, and a new upward look. You don't have that tonight. You're not seeing. You're dead in sin. You're blind. And as this chapter 9 tells us, there's none so blind as the religious blind who put religion in the place of a new birth experience. Tonight, make sure you're seeing. Trust the Lord. Let's pray that the Holy Spirit will do this work of enlightening and bringing people to faith in the Lord Jesus.